everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, and I want to welcome back Steph Hino. Welcome back, Steph.
Hello.
So, yeah, just kind of on a whim, I threw it out there to Steph because this past Sunday, we had Teacher Appreciation Sunday. So I thought, oh, it would be cool to have Steph come on and share a little bit of, show some love to some of our teachers. But really, the thing that kind of sparked this asking her to come on the episode today was at the end of service or during the second worship set in service last Sunday, I looked over to the side and I see this group of youth standing in a circle. I'm like, what is going on over there? And they kind of dispersed. And then I see Steph in the middle and they were praying for Steph. I was like, oh, what was going on with that? So I was like, oh, I think we need to have her come on and share a little bit about that experience, at least to get things started with. And then, yeah, we'll go from there. So, Steph, can you set it up a little bit and then share a little bit about that experience? Like, I was kind of blown away that there were so many youth all in one spot, all huddled around you. I was like, what is going on over there? That looks pretty cool. And then it's like, oh, you're right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I was ambushed in the best kind of way. Yeah, we were just starting the second set of worship. So I'm just trying to worship the Lord. And I was kind of sitting by myself. Tim had to take the boys to their basketball game. So there's like a ton of space conveniently around me. And I was in that front corner on the right. And then I just kind of see these kids and youth like slowly gather around me. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, it was kind of awkward. I'm like, are you, like, I just didn't know what was happening or going on. And then it was cool. They were like, oh, like, you know, we want to pray for you. And I just thought, like, that was so sweet. There was maybe a handful of kids from the Pride and then, like, a bunch of the Forge Magnetic guys too.
Yeah, At first I didn't even notice there were anyone from the Pride over there because the Forge Magnetic kids are so tall that you couldn't even see anything. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool that the older kids are praying for you.
Yeah, no, but it was the Pride kids too. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, so a couple of the Pride kids prayed over me, and then a couple of the youth did. And, yeah, they were just encouraging me. They were praying that I would have fun and that I wouldn't be stressed. Or they kept, like, the kids kept saying, like, oh, I pray that she's not stressed. And I'm like, am I giving off that I'm stressed? Like, I don't feel stressed. But it was so sweet that they would even think to, like, come over and bless me. Because I, the service was more for the volunteers and just appreciating that whole team. But for them just to remember me in that, like, that was really sweet and that was really touching.
Yeah, I think they just recognize your role and who you are and kind of taking the lead and leading the volunteers, and they didn't want to forget about you. I thought that was pretty cool,
too. Yeah, yeah, so nice.
Yeah, so afterwards, I saw that kind of youth mob and kind of roam over, and then they went over and prayed for Brett. I was like, oh, that's really cool, too, that they're just acknowledging the leadership of the teachers and volunteers and the people that are organizing and keeping the trains running. But so later that afternoon, I was sitting with my son and we're sitting there because he's in the youth, and I was like, and he was one of the people that actually went over in that group.
Yeah.
So I was sitting there and I was asking him, like, hey, how did that get started? What was going on? Like, what prompted you guys to go over and pray for Auntie Steph and Uncle Brett? Cause I just thought that was really special. And he goes, it was Abby. And I was like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, it was Abby. Like, and I was like, your cousin Abby. And he's like, yeah, my 9-year-old cousin Abby was the one. I was like, she grabbed all the youth to go over there and pray. And he's like, yeah. And I was really in disbelief because, you know, it's one thing for the youth to grab the kids, but for the kids to grab the youth, I was like, yeah, whoa, that was pretty cool. So,
yeah, I had totally assumed that, you know, the magnetic guys said, oh, like, you know, grab some kids, let's go pray. But to find out that it was the opposite and the other way around, like, I had the same reaction. I was like, wait, what? Like, that's so awesome. Like, it makes it like even more like mm-hmm. meaningful. Yeah. To A, have that idea or just mm-hmm. to even think about the leadership, and then B, to go grab all, it was a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was completely like surrounded. And then, yeah, to grab them and get everyone else to come do it too. That was just, yeah, so cool.
Yeah, and I really think it's a reflection of kind of the intentionality that you've taken, Steph, since, especially since the retreat, to step into helping our Pride kids, because Abby is in the Pride,
mm-hmm.
helping our Pride kids to experience the Lord, hear his voice, and then respond.
Right.
Right. And so that's been one of the focuses for that group. You know, we've been having weekly worship times with them where we're trying to get them to experience the Lord's presence, but then not just end it at that, right? It's not just, okay, we're going to sing a song and then we're going to move on to the next thing, but really it's, we're going to try to engage the Lord in worship and see if there's something that he wants to say to us, or see if the Holy Spirit is moving in a certain direction. So sometimes we feel like the Holy Spirit's leading us to pray for someone. Sometimes it's just people get pictures or people get words, and then it's about the response. And so it was really cool to see how Abby, right? I'm sure she got prompted by the Holy Spirit too, right? So there was a prompting to go pray for Auntie Steph and Uncle Brett, and she responded by grabbing everybody else mm-hmm. to do that. And it's really a reflection of kind of the vision that you had for the Pride from the beginning when we first started this class and changed the name to the Pride. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think a huge heart of mine is for the kids, yeah, to literally like be able to walk out what they're learning and getting equipped with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the response aspect for me is huge. Like, we don't want to just teach them Bible stories and, you know, have them learn about Daniel, but like teach them that they can be Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
They can step into things with the Holy Spirit. Like, right, there's no junior Holy Spirit. Like, you're just as powerful. Your spirit is just as big as an adult person's spirit. Like, there's no like hierarchy
mm-hmm.
in the spirit. And just to, I want them to walk out confidently, like, out of that. Yeah, like, just to have the confidence to really step out and follow what the Lord is saying, and being sensitive to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so just the intentionality of doing that every week, and mm-hmm. now we're starting to see it, right? Like,
yeah.
I shared this in the message on Sunday, but you had told me a story last week
mm-hmm.
of something that Riley did in class. And I thought that was just having that story. And I'll give you a chance to share what that was, because it wasn't my story. I heard it secondhand. So, but anyway, to hear that story and then hear Abby this week, it's like, wow, our kids in the Pride are really starting to own their faith. And mm-hmm. it's not just concepts anymore, but
right.
it's actually them taking the concepts, owning it, and then walking it out too. So
right. Yeah, so this is, I heard it secondhand too. I wasn't there.
All right, well then I'm like the third hands on it. So I was like, is this even my story to share? I mean, I guess kind of, because
well,
it was Riley.
Yeah, but it's your kid, so you can. No, so we usually end the Pride class with worship, mm-hmm. like a time of worship. So we have the flags, like, and it's just music on a portable speaker. And then I usually facilitate that time with them. I don't know why I didn't that day. I think I just forgot, or I was busy doing something else.
Because the Holy Spirit wanted Riley to
yes,
facilitate.
Yes, exactly. It's a setup. So I'm glad she stepped in for me. But so I think, well, Tim was in there in that class helping. Mm-hmm. And so he told us this story. But, you know, they did their first song. And then usually I do maybe one or two songs. And then I ask them, like, is anybody sensing anything? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the Lord doing right now? And then it's so cool. Like, there's always, like, hands up in the air. Like, they know, like, And then I have a couple of them, or whoever wants to share, they can share. And so sometimes it'll be, for example, like, oh, like I just felt really peaceful, mm-hmm. and I felt his presence. And I'm like, awesome. Like, can you release that? Like, who else needs peace? Raise your hand. And, you know, whoever will raise their hand. And I'm like, okay, like, yeah, like, Josh, can you release peace to everyone else, mm-hmm. and invite the Holy Spirit? And so I turn it into like an activation time, mm-hmm. also. Like, oh, that's what the Lord gave you. Like, okay, who else wants it? Like, it's available. And so that's typically what I do. And then we kind of end with one more song. And then they can do flags or whatever. So I guess they did in that class on Sunday 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
They did their first song of worship. And then I think they were just going to move on to the next one. Or I don't know if they were wrapping it up. Or I don't. Again, I wasn't there. But I think before they were going to move on, Riley goes, wait, did anybody get anything? And then all these people raised their hand. And then she called on someone even and was like, okay, what'd you get? And then I think that person was like, I don't know. And she's like, well, then why did you raise your hand? Like calling them out, which I'm like, we could all picture what that looked like. But I was like, that is so cool that like, she's like, no, like this is what we're supposed to do. Like, mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, like she's paying attention to like, you know, just the ways that, mm-hmm. I've been kind of facilitating it. And that the fact that she had the boldness, I mean, mm-hmm. which is not surprising, but like to be like, hold up, we're not done.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Lord was doing something, like let's, you know, tap into that. Let's lean into that.
Yeah, and I thought it was really cool too. So after you told me that story, because I didn't hear about that story till like almost a week later.
Yeah.
It was midweek, and mm-hmm. and so I go home and I ask her about it, and she said, "Oh yeah, after the worship time, I think we were going to move on to the next thing," and then I remembered something that Uncle Tim had said weeks before about going to our secret place with God, and so for some reason I remembered that, and I said, like, did anybody go to their secret place?
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah,
and what did God do?
Yes,
or what did God tell you in your mm-hmm. secret place with God?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so it was significant because Tim was in there that day, but it's not something that he taught about that day. It was something that he had taught about weeks or months ago. About, and that came to mind for her mm-hmm. during that time when they were about ready to move on to the next thing. And so it was like, oh, like even the things that we're talking about now, they might not come to fruition, or we might not see the fruit right away, but the seeds that are planted, the Lord's going to grow them. And when it's time,
right,
we'll see the fruit. And so it was like, wow, that's kind of cool. It wasn't even something that they had talked about that day or that morning, or
yeah,
that wasn't part of the lesson for, right. But it was something that was talked about months ago.
Yeah,
that now it's like, okay, Auntie Steph's not here to facilitate. Like, I want to see if anybody did mm-hmm. was able to go to that place too.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that was months ago. So that was cool that it stuck with her, or it made an impact. Yeah. So cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, your kind of catchphrase is there's no junior Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So, for all the teachers and volunteers, you'd made some magnets and it said, there's no junior Holy Spirit on it, right? And it's cool to see how, you know, as we've been pressing into this with the Pride especially, that they're experiencing the Holy Spirit and they're experiencing hearing his voice. They're experiencing what it looks like when they respond, and people are being blessed when they're responding to what the Holy Spirit is doing. I think that's so cool. So keep it up, Steph. You're doing a good job.
I know. I have the best team. Shout out to all my volunteers and teachers, like, who really help move. They're the ones that help move it forward every week, and they're pouring into the kids. And, yeah, so, so, so grateful for each of them.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of interesting. You have an interesting statistic about our teachers that is, I think it's kind of unique, but I think it's really cool just to see people's hearts. So if you like to share what that statistic is.
I mean, I don't know the exact, but my estimated percentage is that like 80% of the teacher and volunteer team, they do not have kids currently in the ministry. Like, so really they have no reason to be there. Like, they just are giving their time and are pouring into the into our kids. And like, I always look at that and I'm like, that is crazy. Because I mean, like, parents, you know, it's kind of like an unspoken, like, oh, like, well, if you're there every week, you should probably, like, who is it? Denise, I think. And she was the one. She's like, yeah, like, if the kids are there every week, like, get that parent in. They can help once a month, or I don't know. She told me that like a long time ago. And, but I'm like, yeah, the majority of our team, they're giving up a week of their, or like one Sunday of the month to just invest in the kids. And like, that is just speaks volumes of like our church family. And, you know, even further than that, like the way that Jill and Colleen took the parenting class to better serve our kids. And it's just like wild to me. Like,
yeah, that's pretty wild, right? Two ladies that don't have kids in our program at all.
Yeah.
Taking a parenting class.
Yeah.
So that they can be better in the classroom.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm like, they're the best. Like, I'm always blown away. Every time, like, I, you know, putting together the schedule, or I'm, you know, I'm just like, oh, like, yep. There's all these people who have no business really being back here. And yeah, I'm just so like blown away by that.
Yeah, I really feel like that's a reflection of our church being a multi-generational church and just the value of being a multi-generational church. And, you know, I shared that we as a family ministry team got a chance to meet with Joanne Caba, who was my Sunday or my children's director when I was growing up at CBC. But, you know, one of the things that she always used to say is like, you can tell what a church's values are by how they are, you know, where they position their resources. And so, you know, she would say she felt blessed because she knew that at CBC they valued children's ministry because they position their resources there. And so for us, I feel like that's a reflection of our church's value of multi-gen, is just how our people and how our church is allocating resources. It's like people that don't have kids, they're stepping into being teachers and volunteers. You know, our church is reserving one Sunday a month for multi-gen service where everyone's together. And so it's like, yeah, I feel like those values are being represented in how we're allocating our resources. And I feel like we're able to see some of the fruit of that, you know, in things like our kids are going out and on their own feeling prompted by the Holy Spirit to go pray for adults in our congregation or things like that. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right, so thank you to all of our teachers. We appreciate you. We appreciate the time and the effort that you guys are putting in. I kind of wanted to transition a little bit because that's not the only thing that's been going on in our church. And, you know, recently this year we've started having these healing services, right? And so Pastor Dean and Carrie and Hannah have been coming to help facilitate our healing services. And Steph has been on the healing team, prayer teams and stuff like that. And she's actually had some cool experiences of her own. So I felt like this was a good opportunity for her to be able to share a little bit about her journey with healing and even share a little bit of her own story, because she has a really cool story about her back too. So
yeah,
I just wanted to, you know, as people have been hearing a little bit about the healing services, it's like, okay, if you haven't been to a healing service, if you don't know what they're like, or you just want to hear a little bit more before, you know, kind of dipping your toe in that area, because for some people, stepping into the supernatural might be a little bit more of a stretch for some people, but I felt like this could be a good opportunity for us to kind of explore that a little bit and talk about it and and just share a little bit about your experience with it too. So I don't know, wherever you want to start, Steph, it's up to you.
Well, I forgot to tell you a funny story from this past one on Sunday. Cause I'm on the prayer team, and Pastor Barry has been kind of like tweaking with the teams, mm-hmm. like the groupings of two or three people. And so I'm typically always with Ross, which is super fun. We both have a very similar like style of praying. So it's super easy. And then, this Sunday, we had a new member. Mm-hmm. We had Bob, with us, and I'm like looking at the paper. It has all the teams, and then it was just, it's stupid, but I thought it was funny. But I was like, oh, I'm on team Bob Ross. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like just cracking up over that. I'm like, oh, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, we should get Bob Ross shirts next time if we're on the same team. But anyway, yeah, the healing services have been so like so fun and so cool. I mean, anytime you get to see God move mm-hmm. like that is just, yeah, so awesome. And what, we've had three services, official services
now. Is it
now.
Only three?
Well, that first one was kind of like.
Yeah, maybe it was only three.
Yeah, three like official ones. So yeah, and I feel like every time, I was telling Damon, every time I'm around the Fujishimas, like the Lord really like gives me these, like the light turns on in mm-hmm. my brain, like on a specific thing. And sometimes it has nothing to do with what they're talking about, but it's just like I get these revelations. And so because I'm on the prayer team, usually the day before we've been having trainings mm-hmm. with the Fujishimas. And it wasn't this past one, is the time before. So it was like a month ago. I was at the training, and also I was like, okay, well, I need healing too. Mm-hmm. Because it was like my lower back. So like, I think it's my L5 where it meets my tailbone. Mm. So like that lowest disc was like so annoyingly like painful. I even started going to a chiropractor. I had been seeing him for a few weeks, maybe like a month, and like not really any change. And he's like, you might have a disc injury, like.
And they told you you're not supposed to exercise anymore, right?
Yeah, because I said basically the only thing that helped was, I think when we had that big storm come through, it like rained, poured for like a week straight. Like my back felt fine because I couldn't do anything. You know, couldn't go play pickleball, couldn't, you know, go run or anything. And so I told the chiropractor, I'm like, well, I'm not going to sit around and do nothing. Like, that's not an option for me. Like, I like to move. I like to, you know, I play pickleball twice a week. Like, I had started playing basketball more and just, yeah. But it was just painful. Like, mm-hmm. it would just make me, like, ache. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. So I'm sitting in our training, and Dean starts talking about how, like, Jesus is a friend, obviously, but he's also the king. Mm. And that a lot of times we see him as a friend and we don't see him as a king. And like it comes out in our response, mm-hmm. right? Like you can say no to a friend, but you do not say no to a king. Mm-hmm. Like if a king asks you to do something, like you have to do it. And then I immediately felt convicted. I was like, oh, shoot. Like, for sure, I see Jesus as my friend. Mm-hmm. And I've always have. Mm-hmm. And it's true. He is. And I know he's a king. But that doesn't come out in the way that, like, I respond to him. So it's like, I know it's true. I know, like, you know, we always sing it in songs. Like, and yes, I'll say it, Jesus is my king, but like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it just would not come out in my response to him. And so then I am, and this is like kind of in the beginning of his training session. So then I am, you know, in my head, I'm like repenting. I'm like, Jesus, I am so sorry for not seeing you as the king that you are. Like, you know, forgive me for my, you know, for that wrong mindset and not seeing you rightly. And then I'm sitting in like the second row, like I'm sitting in the front.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had another revelation. I was like, oh my gosh, my back, it only hurts when I make a when I do like a bowing motion.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally that's the only, like if I bend sideways, both sides doesn't hurt, backwards doesn't hurt. But when I bend my...
Bend forward.
Like even just a little, like I start to feel it.
Mm.
And I was just like, oh my gosh. Like I don't want to bow. Or like it hurts to bow. Like I can't. And then so I'm like, then I'm, you know, so all this is happening while he's still talking. And then so I'm like, okay, I'm trying to pray. I'm like, okay, like, you know, now that I kind of had the pieces, I'm trying to like pray over myself. I'm trying to rebuke things and like, and then I'm trying to like test it out as I'm sitting there, like trying to lean. I'm like, no, it still hurts. And I'm like, why does it still hurt? Like, ugh. I was like kind of like getting frustrated, like why it wasn't going away. And then towards the end, Dean told this story about, again, it's like so random. He just told the story about a lady who had like hearing loss. Mm. Like she couldn't hear out of one ear. And then Dean had this word of knowledge and he said, do you ever like pretend you're deaf so that you don't have to listen to your husband? And I was like, oh, snap. Like that's crazy. But she said, yes. And he said, like, he told that story because he said, sometimes the enemy just needs like a point of agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I'll help you not listen. And then it's like, you know, then it comes and it'll help you not do that. So then even more so, I was like, oh my gosh, okay. The enemy's probably like, for me, I'll help you not bow.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to bow? Like, that's fine. Like, perfect. Let's do that. And so I was like, oh my gosh. Like, and then shortly after that, Dean goes, does anybody have pain in their back? And he like put his hand like right where mine is. And I'm sure more people had back pain in that room because it's common, right? It's not like rare.
I thought you were going to say because that room was filled with older people.
No, that's not what I meant. No. But when I tell you my hand shot up so fast, I was like, it's mine. That has got to be mine. That's me. And then he did something kind of like interesting. He's like, oh, like you have my number, right? And I was like, yeah. He's like, okay, go somewhere else where like out of this room where you can't hear me. So I was like, okay, I took his phone or took my phone. I kind of went over to the Kumon
mm-hmm, corner, the corner
by myself. And then he had me on speakerphone while he was still in the sanctuary with everybody mm-hmm. else. And so he wanted to show people that like you could pray some for somebody for healing and not physically
mm-hmm.
be in the same space or like, you know, I don't have to touch her. I don't have to lay hands with her. Like distance doesn't matter. And so he was praying and with me over the phone and he's like, okay, he prayed quick, just a quick, you know, command. He's like, okay, test it out. And my range of motion got better before I felt the pain, but it was still there. And so I was like, I can move. Like I can bend probably almost all the way down to like touch my toes, but then the pain comes still.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, it's getting better, but not fully. And then I think he kind of switched gears and went more towards the like whole deliverance thing, right? Like, you know, the whole agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, okay, whatever is causing this, like, go now. And like, that was basically it. And then I was like, oh, like, it's still like kind, like, there's this little like bit left. And then he said, okay, well, then he prayed, I think something about like the expectation that it's going to be there, kind of like praying that off. And then he's like, I just feel like you're supposed to take a like a big, deep breath, like breathe in and breathe out. And I did. And then it was completely gone. And I was just like, what the heck? Like, I was like, wait. Like, I was almost in disbelief. Like, I've had healing prayer before, and like, but that was the first time I think it was that drastic. Because it was like, I told him it was like about a level 5 when we started, like when I actually moved. But yeah, that was just so cool. I was like, so, I'm still so happy, like, that, you know, like, it's completely gone. It was kind of weird though, like the muscles in my back, you know, they kind of have to compensate. So they were, those were still kind of tight, and I kept like kind of having to fight the doubt. I'm like, oh, it's not completely gone. But then 2 days later, I went to my chiropractor and I walked in and he's like, you know, how's it going? And I'm like, I have a crazy story to tell you. So I told him. And, you know, he kind of didn't know. I don't think he's a believer.
Yeah.
So he kind of didn't know how to respond. But he's like, okay, well, let's just check it out. And, you know, he's doing all these, like, adjustments or things that usually would hurt. And I was just like, nope. I don't feel anything. Nope. Like, yeah, like, when he would, like, massage that area, like, it's sore. But the actual, like, spine and the bones, like, there was, like, I felt nothing at all. And so, like, that was almost, like, I needed that. Be like, okay, like, I'm not crazy or, like, I'm not. It was, like, confirmation. And then I think I went back one more time, like, a couple weeks later just to, like, you know, be sure. Or just to deal with, like, the muscle tightness around it. And he's basically like, I don't think you need to come here anymore.
Pastor Dean's putting that guy out of work.
I know, which I kind of, you know, I was like, that's the awkward part, right? Like, it's a little like, oh, this is his livelihood. Like, this is, But yeah, I mean, he was still like really happy for me. And he's like, yeah, like, I mean, whenever you just come in when you need to, but he's like, I don't need to see you anymore. So cool.
I think there's another funny part of this story that you didn't talk about either, too. There was an agreement that Pastor Dean kind of broke with you.
Which one?
About being a pain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. So that was actually the month before. So I had a prayer session with Pastor Dean and Pastor Carrie, and they did pray for this issue the month before. And Pastor Dean had this kind of like word for me, and he said, I rebuke the lie over you that you are a pain in the butt, because it's really like kind of like right above my butt. And so I was like, oh, like, that was like really, I mean, it was funny, but it was also like, you know, I felt like there was truth in that also, because, you know, just the way we grow up, or just the things that we hear over time. And so he said,
all right, I got my timeline wrong. I was like, I feel like that was part of it.
It was. But yeah, that was actually before. I totally forgot about that, actually. Yeah. But yeah, that was really funny. But yeah. And then nothing really happened. Like, they didn't. Like, well, they prayed like a few times, but I was like, oh, like, it's still, so there was no real change. But then, yeah, it was, yeah, Jesus is King.
Yeah. I think that's one of the cool things about this whole healing service and season that we've been in is there are times where it's like looking at the Lord's timing is a big part of it. Right. So it's like, yeah, we might go to get prayed for healing. And if we don't get it in that moment, what's our response? Is it like, oh, God doesn't heal. God doesn't want to heal. God doesn't want to heal me. Like, there's a lot of different thoughts. And sometimes it's just, now's not the time for that. There's more to it. There's something else that needs to happen. Or,
yeah.
Right? Because if Steph had gotten the healing the first time when she, you know, the first time when she actually had a session with them and got prayed for, then she might not have had that revelation about the bowing, about that, right? And which was a big part of it, right?
Right.
So if, and that was kind of tied to the teaching that came the next time that they were here, right? And so sometimes it's God's timing, and it's looking at the timing and recognizing like, okay, maybe now wasn't the right time for that. What is the Lord going to do?
Yeah.
Because the Lord does want to see me whole and healed and things like that. Mm-hmm. So where do I go from there? Do I just go to like, oh, well, God doesn't heal just because he didn't heal me in that moment? Or is it just like, okay, this is a part of the process.
Right.
He highlighted certain things. Am I going to walk those things out? And then he's going to bring the healing later. Right. So there's a lot of different things for us to kind of process in the midst of it. And, you know, I think one of the things for us as we step into this healing season too, is that, you know, we're already believers, right? So we don't need the healing to kind of already acknowledge that God is God.
Right.
Right. Where for a non-believer, it's like, oh, there's kind of more of an impetus, I feel, for God to bring healing or show his power to those people, because they need like that affirmation that God is real and God is God. Where for us, it's a little bit different too. So I think sometimes when we, you know, step into some of these things and it doesn't go the way that we want, it's like, how does that response, like, where do we go with that? Because I know there's a lot of people, you know, I taught a class on hearing God's voice like a long time ago, and this was with people that are not part of our church. And so it was at Ideas Exchange, and we were kind of talking about how to teach our kids how to hear God's voice. And then afterwards I had a person say like, I don't even want to go down this road, because what if God doesn't talk to them? Are they going to think that God doesn't, or like God's not real, or I was like, well, if we don't even give him an opportunity, if we're not even teaching this, then we're not even giving them space for that. Right. And so it's like out of that fear that he's not going to do anything, they don't want to go and even go down that road. Right. And so for some of us, I feel like that's something that the enemy tries to use, is our fear, our like, what if God doesn't do anything? So then we don't even give him the opportunity to do something, because we're afraid that he's not going to do something. Right. And so it's cool to see, like, as we continue to move down this path, like, we are getting some really awesome testimonies, but then also looking at, you know, are there certain things that might be differences between, you know, one scenario or, you know, one set of circumstances versus another, to kind of help us as we process it too. Because we have seen some amazing healings, and then we've also seen times where God hasn't healed in the moment, right?
Right?
And so it's cool to see for your story, it the first prayer session wasn't the end.
Right.
But it was just part of the journey to get to the healing.
And and I think God wants to heal all of us, not just the physical, right? It's the spiritual. He wants to heal our mindsets, and like, he cares about all of us. And so I think, sometimes he's going to go after the heart issue first. So.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like, we're not even aware of the heart issue, but he uses the physical issue to help us to get to the heart issue. Right. Like, so like in your case, it was like the heart issue was, am I going to see Jesus as the king? Right. That was really the heart issue. And there was a part of you that was like, nope, I'm not going to bow down. I want to do it my way. I want to do things the way that I want to do it. Kind of like you said, like, you can't say no to the king. But if you don't see that person as the king, then you don't, you're not saying no to the king.
Right.
And so, because there's a part that's like, no, I want to be in control. I don't want to give that control over to someone else. Right. But then that was really the heart issue. And so the Lord used the physical issue to help you to recognize what the heart issue was.
And
then once the heart issue was resolved, then the physical issue was
taken care
of too.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think for some of us, it's like when we do have pain or when we do have things that we feel like need healing, you know, and it's different too. Like, okay, I step off the curb and I sprain my ankle, right? Like, that's probably not necessarily a heart issue, right? But if it's something that we're like, oh, I don't know where this came from, I don't know, then maybe it's for us to look at it and say, is there something else? Is there something, a heart issue or something that's going on inside? And asking the Lord, like, what could that be to highlight it? And then maybe part of it is just coming to a healing service and using the people that are there to help guide us, because maybe they'll get a word from the Lord or they'll hear something and say like, oh, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, right? Like, kind of like Dean did with that lady. He's like, have you ever, you know, pretended that you weren't here?
Crazy. What a crazy question to ask. But the fact that it was true.
Right. And so maybe sometimes it's that, maybe sometimes we just need that little bit of guidance from with someone else, because it's kind of off our radar, because I'm sure she wasn't thinking that.
We all need some PMT sessions. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I think that's where I feel very blessed to be a part of our church, where the Lord has already, you know, gifted us with people that are willing to and, you know, have gotten training in how to pray for people, whether it's emotional healing, spiritual healing, physical healing, and really just looking for wholeness, you know. Like, one of the things that I feel like has been highlighted to me over the past couple years, you know, we've been talking about wholehearted surrender as a church. You know, that's been one of the main themes that we've been going over, is this wholehearted surrender. But, you know, in kind of following Pastor Dean's ministry, it's like, there's a lot of times where we're not whole. Right? There's a wholeness aspect of us that's missing. So it's like, we can give 100% of a part of us, but it's because we're not whole, right? So how can we wholeheartedly surrender if we're not wholehearted? Right? And so that's a big thing, is, you know, seeking the Lord for that wholeness, because he wants us to be whole. That's how he created us to be, as a whole person. And the circumstances of the world, the influence of the enemy and sin and all of these different things have led us to brokenness, and the Lord wants to put us back together. And so we can be in that position where we're able to wholeheartedly surrender, because now we're a whole person.
Because of what Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not part of your heart. So yeah, that's, gosh, that's a whole nother, that's a whole nother trail.
You know, I think we'll end up getting there eventually. That might be a multi-episode podcast with a bunch of different people in our church, because I do feel like that's something that the Lord has been leading us in, is what does it look like for us to be whole people, and and how do we kind of walk that journey to wholeness?
Right.
And a lot of us are still in the middle of that journey. So I think, you know, once more of us are kind of farther down the line, we'll probably share a little bit more about that. But it really is cool to see that the Lord wants us to be whole. He doesn't want us to be broken anymore. And, you know, that's one of the things that Pastor Dean, you know, when he first started coming more regularly, you know, a year and a half ago with our staff elders, he said, you know, one of the reasons that Jesus came was to heal the brokenhearted, right? And, you know, a lot of times when we think of brokenhearted, we think of like, oh, we're sad because something bad happened. But, you know, that's not the whole picture of what it means to be brokenhearted, right? It's like, if there's any compartmentalization, if there's any division within us, if there's any of those types of things, then we're not whole.
Right?
We separated ourselves and separated our heart. And so it's not a whole heart. It's kind of broken up into different pieces. And the Lord Jesus came to put those pieces back together.
Yeah. So good. There's a lot we could say on that topic.
Which I think we'll end up getting to eventually, but we don't have enough time on this episode to kind of dive into that one. But so Steph, as we're kind of wrapping up this episode, are there any kind of things that you want to leave our listeners with? I mean, I know you're going to be back for sure, but until then.
I don't know. I'm just thinking about, well, Mother's Day is coming up, right? And Yeah, something that I've been kind of thinking about just as a mom, as a parent, is just like how much our kids like watch us and want to copy us. Like how much messages we send without saying anything.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you share about reading the Bible?
Yeah.
Why don't you share about that?
Yeah. So, well, it kind of started with, so in the past like year or two, Tim scored the biggest Facebook Marketplace lottery like find. Like
he's pretty good at that.
He lives for that. He lives for the for those moments. The steal of a lifetime. He got like this squat rack.
It's like a home gym type thing.
Yeah, but it has cables, it has a Smith machine, like it's basically like what he wanted. Like he did research on kind of what he wanted out of this thing. He wrote it down. He's like, okay, Lord, like, I don't even know if he prayed actually, but he's like, this is what I want. Like, this is what I'm looking for. And then he's like, oh, I'm just going to go look on Facebook Marketplace. And he found the exact one, which I think if you bought it new, it's like $3,000 to $4,000 without weights, without the plates on it. So just, you can't do much like with it. So he went online on Facebook Marketplace and he found it for $180.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like, wait, is this legit? Like, am I going to get scammed? So he met the guy and he's like, you know, and if it's missing pieces or like if it doesn't work, it's only 180, like it's not the end of the world. So he's like, I'm gonna risk it, I'm just gonna go for it. And yeah, it was legit. It's maybe missing like one peg, but I'm like, we don't even need it, like it's fine. So yeah, that was, we've had that. And so our garage has kind of turned into like our home gym, and so I'll go in there and work out, and then all of a sudden like the kids started wanting to work out, and I didn't tell them to do it with me. Like I just go in, I do my quick whatever. But especially like Brinley is 4 years old, she's like, oh, are you gonna work out? I'm like, yeah, like can I work out too? And I'm like, okay. And so it's cute, like she, you know, she can't do much, but she, like we have a little like 3 pound dumbbell. She's like whole, like she's trying to like curl it, or you know, or she's doing these ab exercises, and she's like, this is like, I like this, can we do this every day? And I'm like, well, I don't do it every day, but sure. And so I was just like, and then even the boys, like Mason, he's like, can we wake up early at like 6 o'clock and work out before school? And I'm just like, I don't really want to. Like, really? I said, okay, well, if you really want to, like, you wake me up. I'm not setting an alarm. So if you want to, you wake me up. And, like, most days of the week, he'll wake me up. He doesn't wake Tim up anymore because I think I'm more fun to work out with. Or I'm not, like, such a stickler. I'm just like, simple, keep it simple. And I think Tim, like, tries to push them, and they don't like it. Because I think I didn't wake. I said, no, Dad, like, go wake up Dad. Like, I'm too tired. And then that later that day, I said, oh, how was your workout with Dad? And they go, can you do it next time? But it was so funny. So that whole thing with working out got me to thinking about, like, you know, this isn't something we pushed on them. Mm-hmm. But it's just because they see us do it, they see, like, we value it. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, like, I want to do that. And it's not fun. Like, they don't love doing it either. Like, you know, like, Nolan will start with us, and then he kind of is over it. So I'm like, just go inside. You're in my way. Like, just get out of my way. If you don't, you don't have to do this. Like, just go inside if you don't want to. But then it made me think about, like, you know, reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. Because I try to read my Bible every day, but I often do it when they're not home. or they don't see me do it. Mm-hmm. Like they're at school or maybe it's at night. And then so this whole gym thing was like, okay, they're seeing me do it, but like, okay, maybe they need to see me read the Bible. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's something that like, you know, I want them to,
yeah,
to want to do. Yeah. And I want them to, develop that habit. And, so yeah, I think it was after school, they're doing their homework. So I just sat at the table and I just started reading my Bible. And then literally the first time I did it, 'cause I'm thinking, oh, I have to do it consistently,
yeah,
so that they keep seeing it. But literally the first time, God is so kind. The first time I'm doing it, Nolan comes over and he goes, have you read the whole Bible? And I was like, yeah. And I said, do you want to? And he goes, yeah. I was like, okay. And then so I was like, yeah, maybe we could do like a challenge like for this over the summer. And he's like, yeah, I'll read the whole Bible over the summer. And I'm like, okay, well, I was like, maybe we should start a little smaller. Because I was, yeah, like, that's intense.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, usually it takes people like a year to read the Bible, not 2 months. So I said, how about we do the New Testament in the summer? And so he's like, okay. And then, so that was just me and Nolan. And then I think Tim was on a work trip in Hawaii. Yeah.
Real work.
And so then I texted him. I said, hey, we're going to start this thing. Like, do you want to do it with us? And he's like, yeah, I'm in. And then Mason said he was in too. So, yeah, we've been doing it. We're in Luke now. We're starting Luke today. But it's kind of cool because we all keep each other accountable. We're like, hey, like, are you on time? Like, are you behind? Like, but
why don't you share about Mason?
Oh yeah. So then we're like, okay, because Mason maybe started a day or two late. So I'm like, okay, like you catch up if you want to be with us, right? Yeah. And then I said, you should be at Matthew 18. I'm like, that's a lot. Like, mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, like I already did it. And I'm like, you did? Are you sure? I'm like, what? And then I was like, whatever. And then again, we talked about it again. And I said, yeah, Matthew 18, right? And he's like, yeah, it's just like all the names. And like, who's the Father, the Son of? And I'm like, not verse 18. So he thought it meant me. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, it was so funny. And he's like, oh, shoot, like I'm super behind. But he caught up, I'm pretty sure. He might be a day or two behind. But I was like, yeah, man, don't fall too far behind. Yeah. It sucks to catch up.
Yeah, we're in Luke and you're still in Matthew.
Yeah, I know. No, so luckily towards the beginning. So, but yeah, they've been keeping with it. They're still trying to negotiate like a prize at the end. We're like, how about you guys get to pick like a nicer dinner to go out to? And I don't know, they're trying to leverage all these crazy things. And I'm like, I don't know, we'll see.
Your prize is that you get to say that exactly. You read the New Testament.
I'm like, that should be enough. But yeah, I mean, at that age, they always want some sort of reward or prize at the end. But yeah, so I'm like, feel very like grateful that mm-hmm. they're so like down to do it. It's cool, you know, to talk to them about it too. And then like they have all these questions. They're like, why is it the same thing? Like, why are we reading the same? Because I was like, well, those are the gospels. Yeah. Like, it's, I said, it's going to be repetitive for a little while, but, you know, you're going to learn it. You're not going to forget. So, yeah, it's been cool.
It's always nice when you hear the same thing from two different people.
Yeah.
It's like the confirmation, right? So it's not just like, oh, I heard it from this one person. And so... it's easier to believe that it's true when you hear from multiple people. Or so I'm kind of saying that knowing something's going to happen in the future that you might have heard already. So I'm just kind of planting that seed there that there might be something coming in the future relatively soon that you might have heard already, that it's just supposed to be a confirmation and affirmation that what something that someone said was not just they're pulling it out of their thin air, that it's legit.
Yeah. And kind of on that note, like, I remember someone said, like, or someone was like complaining, like, oh, like when people pray for me, they always pray the same thing. Or like they keep getting this same picture, like kind of like annoyed, like they want a new word or like, right. Or it's something like, oh, like, you know, you're amazing, or like just something that feels really basic and not that special. And then I remember someone said, well, maybe it's because you don't believe it. Like God has to keep telling it to you. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like maybe it's just something that needs, like we actually need to step into or lean into more and own or just see what God has in that.
Yeah, I think that's totally something that God would do. It's like he doesn't want to leave us where we're at. It's not like, oh, you have to learn something new all the time. It's like sometimes it's, hey, you haven't learned the old thing.
Yeah.
We need to keep going back until you learn it. And then you'll be ready for something new.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember someone said, hey, like, can I get a prophetic word? And like, I just looked and he was a good friend.
Yeah.
That I could say this to. But I said, what did you do with the last one I gave you? And he's like, I'm like, yeah, like you just want to, you know, like you have to do something, like steward what the Lord is already speaking.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. But yeah, it's been very grateful for all that God's been doing in all these different areas. And yeah, I just like couldn't believe it was that easy for the Bible thing. And but yeah, I've been thinking a lot about how just the way that we live our lives and our routines and what we allow and don't allow, like it all sends a message to our kids of what we value. And so I've been more like aware and intentional about that lately too. Oh, and then one other thing that we've been doing that's been kind of fun, and I think I stole it from like Instagram or something, or it was this girl and she said, you know, it was like more like a prompt, like what's something your parents did that really made your childhood like special, or what's one thing that like they something extra or out of the ordinary that you look back and it's like, oh, that's so cool, or that really meant a lot. And so I stole this theme. It's like and we call it just like theme dinners. So either Tim or I will pair up with one of the boys, and it's like you're in charge of dinner, the menu, you can set the ambiance, you can like make it fun, or like, but it has to like have a theme. And so that's been really fun because it teaches the value of like hosting and like, you know, making dinner and just being completely in charge.
And it's just fun too.
And it's fun, yeah. So I did the first one just because I wanted to set the bar, right? I did it on my own. And I don't know if you've been to, there's a Mexican restaurant called Supermex.
Yes, I've been to Supermex, where they have huge, the reason it's called Supermex, it's like Superman-sized burritos and...
Yeah, so you know Supermex. I did Mini-Mex. So all the food was mini. So like Trader Joe's has, and it's like, it doesn't have to be hard. Yeah. Like Trader Joe's has these mini chicken tacos and beef and chicken tacos. I made mini quesadillas, like mini, I use those like Tostitos scoops chips, and I made mini like tostadas, like, you know, and So that was the first one. And then we had like a mini dessert. I forget what it was. A mini apple pie. And it's like mostly bought. Like yeah. I didn't have to do much. And then I think Tim and Mason did like a barbecue night. We did a make your own sushi roll night.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. That was one of the more expensive. But, and then me and Mason did a baked potato bar because, and we did that our theme was, we play, Brawl Stars. it's an app, it's a game. And his username was Harmless Potato. I'd have no idea why. And, so then I stole, and then I, you know, Tim and I like joined later and I said, well, if you're a harmless potato, I'm going to be a harmful potato. So that's our username. So then we're like, oh, it's the harmless and harmful potato bar, baked potato bar.
I thought you were going to say something like, I used to play with Mr. Potato Head when I was growing up. So we just decorate them with the vegetables and then we eat it.
No, so... But it's fun. Like, the kids like it because they get to pick what we eat. Because usually they don't. I just make whatever I want. But, so, yeah, that's been another, like, cool thing that we've been doing. Sometimes there's costumes involved. Like, I think the sushi one, like, they had those headband.
Yeah.
Like, sushi chef ones. I don't know. Someone brought it back from Japan for them, so they wore the.
Just makes it fun and memorable.
Yeah. And it's, like, easy. Like, or, you know, it doesn't take that much more effort. Mm-hmm. And then usually whoever isn't cooking, like, then they, like, help clean. Or they do the cleanup at the end, so.
I propose that you guys do a teppan night and Tim starts learning his teppan skills since you guys had the Blackstone. Gotta use it.
Oh man, yeah, he's better work on some of the those hat tricks and the all that Benihana skills.
Yeah, he's got to do the onion volcano.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then he got to clink a lot.
Yeah.
No, he makes breakfast on there sometimes, so. Oh, that's another thing. The kids love breakfast for dinner, so that's a good one. Yeah.
But it's cool just to see the ways that you're being intentional, like, in making experiences for your kids, too. And it's not just like, oh, I know my parents care about me, but it's like you're creating experiences where you're making it, just they're seeing it, they're experiencing it. And then even for the reading the Bible thing, it's like, you're not just saying, hey, you guys need to read your Bible, but it's like they're seeing that you are doing it because you want to do it. And I think that makes the biggest difference is that they see, oh, she wants to do this. Maybe there's something to that. I should do it. Or maybe not I should, but yeah, that would be something I would want to do too.
Yeah. And I think at this age, it's just more quantity over quality. Yeah. Like, because I think part of me is like, oh, well, what'd you get out of it? Or like want it to go deep, right? And it's like, no, like that's not, like that'll come. Because even a couple of years ago, I wanted to try to get them to journal more. And so I bought them these journals that are like, you know, they have the weekly kind of like slots. And I was like, it doesn't have to be long. Just like ask the Lord a question and write down what he says, like an answer. And so that was actually really cool. And then again, you have to like reward them in some way. So I'm like, okay, if you do 2 weeks in a row without missing, then I don't even remember what happened. But it was interesting because that kind of faded away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't also want to be the person that's like, you better do this and like, you know, force it. Because then that's going to make them not want to do it. Yeah. So it's a very hard kind of like thing to navigate. So I just thought like they stopped doing it. But then it was really cool after Tim's dad passed away. And they were like really, the boys were really close with him. And I don't know why I like looked at Mason's journal. But then he had like written, like he was still using it. And he, but it wasn't so much like the, he was writing the answers of what he had heard, but he was like asking the Lord questions. Like, oh, like what is, they called him Baba. Like, oh, what is Baba doing in heaven right now? Or like, what else did he say? But just the fact that he's like processing with the Lord. Because he's one that's not like, he's very internal. Like he doesn't, getting him to verbally like process is very difficult. So I think that helped me, you know, like not have to worry so much. Cause I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I don't really even know how he's doing. Cause he won't say, he won't tell me or whatever. So just kind of like seeing that, okay, he's okay. Like he's processing with the Lord, like he's still using that as a tool, without, you know, us saying or telling him to. So that was really kind of gave me a lot of peace.
I think it's really cool too to see, like, you know, in your role as like children's director, like that's your heart for families, but it's like you're doing that in your own family too. Right, like you're setting the tone for our families by what you're doing in your family. And it's not just like, okay, this is my job, I need to make sure that we're doing all this stuff. But it's like, you're just, your heart for your family is extending to all the families in our church. And the things that you're doing in your own family, the experiences that you want them to have with the Lord, like you want all the kids in our church to be able to have that too. And so, you know, you're really just setting the tone kind of in a similar way as, you know, you reading the Bible for your kids. It's like you're doing these things in your family, showing our families what it can look like in their families too. And so, yeah, just the ways that you're setting the tone, it's really cool. I really feel, and I said this, I think since the first time that we started talking to you about being the children's director, it's like, you're the right person for this. And just the ways that you've been setting the tone, setting the example, the way that you're raising your own family, I think that's, it's really, yeah, setting the bar high for our families, and not in the sense of setting the bar high that they have to live up to it, but setting the bar high in terms of like, these are the things that can happen in your family when you're intentional.
Yeah. I mean, as Brett says, you got to be about it. Can't be all talk and all show and no go.
But I think that's where we're starting to see some, not some, but that's where we're starting to see fruit. Because it isn't just about talking about it. You're not just talking to our kids about it, but you're living it out in your life. You're living it out in your family. And the kids can see the genuineness of it. Because, right, kids can see when you're authentic and when you're talking about it, right? They're very good at judging that. And so because they can see that you're authentic in what you're doing in your faith and your journey with the Lord, like, they're grasping onto that too. So, like I said, you're the right person for this role in our church, and I'm so thankful, so blessed that you are stepping into this even more and stepping into your authority and your leadership, and it's cool to see, and I feel like so many people are being blessed by what you're doing, but then also what our kids are stepping into too.
Yeah, it's been so cool to see how the kids are growing and stepping up. And yeah, like if you have testimonies, please tell it. I feel like I'm always hearing these stories like secondhand or like through the grapevine. Like, so yeah, like parents, if you have, like, if you're noticing like things in your kids, like I know our teachers or volunteers and, you know, our family ministries team, like that would encourage us so much. Yeah, don't keep those to yourself. We all want to give God glory for those.
No, for sure. For sure. All right. Well, thanks again, Steph, for coming on. This was a lot of fun, and I'm sure we're going to have you back on again. So I'm sure you're going to have more and more stories to share, but thanks again. And thanks for all that you're doing for our church. And thanks to all of our teachers out there. We really appreciate you. Yeah, so thanks again, Steph.
Thanks.
All right. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.